prophet of the airways.
Welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. After an extended break, we are back. We are so glad. I'm talking about me in the third person. No, there's only one of us. It's me, Adam Klugman, back. You're listening to KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station on AM 620. Wow, it's really nice to be home. And to all the people that send me emails saying, where are you and when are you coming back? Thank you for caring. I had a phenomenal vacation with my family. We created deep family memories. We also spent a fortune in the UK. I don't know if you've been to the UK lately, but woof, it is expensive. The exchange rate's like $1.70. So you go and you have a sandwich and a Coke with your family and it's £35 and you think, oh, that's not bad. It's like $60. So we had deep family memories, had to reach deep into the pockets. It was great. We went to Scotland. We went to England. It was pretty cool. As we're flying over Scotland, we look out the window and we're thinking, well, wait a minute. Are we sure we're not back in Portland? Has there been a mistake? Because Scotland looks just like Portland. And it was as green on the ground and as gray in the sky as what we left. It was kind of a bummer from a weather perspective. So the fact that we're back on a day like this, this is the kind of day that makes Portland worth living for. This is why we are here. And I am, as you can hear, pumped to be back. We have a very cool show for you. So whatever it is you're doing, if you're suntanning, if you're waxing your car, if you're driving around doing errands, keep the radios tuned to AM 620 KPOJ. Grateful that we have a progressive station here in Portland. And I am grateful to be here, to be back, to be with you guys. And I said it before, and I was trying to explain it to my wife. It's like, listeners, you know, I don't have a relationship with anybody else in my life like I have with you guys. And it feels great because I feel like you guys choose to be here to listen to me. And I'm honored by that. I really am. So let me tell you a little bit about the cool show that we've got. First hour, all you, all calls. Numbers 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. First hour, it's all you. That's it. Second hour, I'm going to delve into something with Jason Benlevy, who is the author of a book, Too Much Magic. And we're going to talk about something called the singularity. And I'm going to try to talk about it in non-conspiratorial terms, because you hear this idea of the singularity a lot in conspiracy theory circles. And I certainly lean a little bit too far in that direction sometimes, but I'm going to try to take the sting out of it because there's really something here. There's this apparent exponential growth of technology that's supposed to take place within the next 20 to 25 years that is going to, quote, rip a hole in the fabric of human history. And I really want to explore that with somebody who's smarter about these things than I am. And that's Jason Benlevy. He's been on the show before. Super smart, high-tech guru guy. In the third hour, Al Nowakowski, a roving reporter from the Windy City, will be here. He did something really interesting. I don't know if you know Cornel West and Tavis Smiley did a poverty tour, you know, went around the country just to find out what's going on at the level of poverty. We talk about poverty. We talk about we don't talk about poverty. We talk about the middle class being gutted, but where does the middle class go? They go into poverty. And guess who's always been getting screwed? Right? Middle class has been getting screwed for the last 10 or 15 years. Throughout human history, the poor always get screwed. And so Tavis Smiley and Cornel West went on, you know, a tour around the country talking about poverty to bring this to the awareness. And there's lots of good reasons. Al Nowakowski went there. He interviewed them. He has a phenomenal report for us in the third hour. So we have a great show. We have a really great show. And like I said, I just came back from Scotland. And, you know, whenever you go abroad, you usually come back with a kind of a different view of your own country. And in a lot of ways, I did. But in some really critical ways, I didn't. And to be honest, I'm not sure that it's all necessarily good news. Because what seems to be universal, I mean, I was over in the UK. What seems to be universal, certainly in the West, and quite possibly throughout the entire world, is fear I mean, I was in London during the riots, 3 miles from my hotel. This fear is palpable. I felt it when I was looking at my country from abroad. It's palpable. And when I was in the UK, I felt it everywhere I went. I saw it in the eyes of the people I met on the streets. I felt it as I walked down the sidewalks of Aberdeen and Edinburgh, and definitely, definitely on the streets of London. I talked to cab drivers in the UK who were just as pissed off about exactly the same things that we're pissed off about. I mean, it's like been scripted. I talked to this one Scottish cab driver who asked me what I did, and I told him about the radio show and the title of it and everything. And the next thing you know, well, we were talking politics, of course. And all of a sudden, you know, he starts cursing out the Scottish bankers and how they all got bailed out and then started passing out bonuses and taking vacations as soon as the checks cleared. And I told him, hey, man, that's what happened in our country, too. What is there, some kind of, like, snidely whiplash handbook these bankers are following? I mean, here I was in a Scottish cab 6,000 miles away from home, and found out that the people there are getting screwed in exactly the same ways that we are getting screwed here. And who are they getting screwed by? The same people. So, my Scottish cab driver, he kind of kept spitting and cursing up a storm in this thick Scottish brogue, you know, and it made him seem powerful for a while. And I was thinking about, you know, how tough the Scots are and how the bankers messed with the wrong country this time until my friend kind of, he ran out of steam. And he started revealing something really true. And he started telling me about his daughter and about how the money he had saved for her college education had been lost. This was money that he had saved over the course of a lifetime of driving a cab to put his daughter through college. And he told me how it had been reduced to almost nothing in the market crash of 2008. And there was such sadness in it. And even though at some level he knew that it had been stolen and engineered in some way that he couldn't quite articulate, you know, he blamed himself for pulling the money out too soon, you know, before the market had a chance to recover. And so when I told him that the worst thing he could do would be to blame himself, you know, he just kind of smiled at me like, you know, he appreciated the caring. But there was something weak in it. You know, something once proud, now broken in that smile he flashed at me. And when he dropped me off, he looked out the window and of the cab, and he looked at me all kind of plaintively and said, "How much do they want from us?" And then I said, "As much as we'll let them take." And then he smiled at me and said, "Is this what you do on your radio show? Get people all worked up?" And then I said, "I try." And then he said, "Well, keep at it, laddie. Seems like you've got a talent for it." And he just kind of drove off, you know. But it was clear after that they're getting fleeced in Scotland, too, you know, with the same script by the same people. And in Ireland, and in Greece, and in England, and in France. Because the whole Western world is being taken over by the bankers. And woe be to us, woe be to us, if we don't do something about it right now. Because whether you believe in conspiracy theories or not, if you can't see that the bankers and their multinational corporate cousins are breaking the financial backbone of the world with full eyes wide open intent, then I say God bless you, because ignorance must truly be bliss. Because everywhere I look, I see a systematic effort to bring down the cherished institutions of this country and the whole dream of a free and prosperous people on this planet. And when I think about the avoidable damage caused by this absolutely ludicrous debt ceiling, obstructionist nonsense, and when I was watching it from overseas and how absurd it seemed, I just knew that we were under a deliberate and systematic attack. And I think we have to accept this now. You know, not look away because we are afraid, but turn around and face the beast. Know it for what it is and stand our ground. This is nothing new. Bankers have been trying to run the world since there have been banks. I mean, it's one thing to face the truth and to be afraid. But It's really another thing entirely to deny the truth, because you don't think you have the courage to look at it. But we do have the courage to look at it. We must have the courage to look at it. And if we look at it together, we will beat it. Because we can't allow ourselves to be distracted by the fear that's being peddled right now, because the fear is the thing that will paralyze us. It will keep us hypnotized into believing that we don't have the power to change our world, that it's some, you know, economic mystery that the technocrats can only solve for us, that only more powerful human beings than ourselves are in control, and that all we have to do is just hide like prey in a giant herd of trembling humans and hope that I don't get singled out. But like my Scottish cab driver friend, I bet he thought that way until he got singled out. And now there's a brokenness that's set into his soul that I saw, and an injury to his pride, and a bite out of his optimism from which he will never recover. He asked me, how much do they want from us? And my answer was, as much as we would let them take, which is true, but it was really an evasive answer, because the real answer to the question of how much they want from us, it's really simple. All of it. That's how much they want from us. All of it. Because the ruling elite of this country live atop a very sick system where human identity and human worth is determined by things like power and wealth and acquisition. And it becomes an addiction for them. And maybe any one of us were there, we might get addicted too. But it fills all the gaping holes and all the rotted places within them. Endless money and endless power, like endless war, provide an open-ended sense of purpose and a feeling of unlimited worldly power. I can imagine myself getting addicted to that, because if there ever was enough of what doesn't satisfy, if their desire was in fact finite, then someday they would have to face themselves and their own brokenness, and just like the rest of us, battle the daily demons that live in their own hearts. But they would rather start wars for profit, gut a country, pollute a planet, than face the aching, solitary emptiness that is their lost humanity. And the real insanity is that they've managed to convince us of their madness, that they are in fact more powerful than we are. They've gotten us to believe that we are helpless in the face of their dominion, and they've done it by gutting our jobs and our manufacturing base, attacking our public employees, dismantling our unions, wanking our financial system at their pleasure, and selling us on the idea that the enemies of American freedom are out there somewhere, oceans away, hiding under some rock, wearing some turban in some anonymous desert, waiting to blow us up. Well, I say bull shizzle to all of that, because the enemies of American freedom are living right here in this country and in Scotland and in England. They are among us, and they have all the money, and they mean our financial system harm. And yes, it's scary. And yes, they seem invincible. But see, it is my belief that this is just a temporary condition, because ultimately it comes down to this. We live in an inherently moral universe, which means that you cannot act immorally for an indefinite period of time. We will triumph in the end, because that is where our humanity is an asset, because no amount of money can take that away from us or change the basic moral structure of the universe. The only thing that can assail our power now is fear. That's why it's being pushed so hard, because if we believe in it, if we take this fear into ourselves, we reduce our stature, diminish our grandeur, and accept that as limitless beings in an unlimited universe, that we are small and helpless and cut off from our source of our power. You see, and this power, this vast, untapped human potential that is waiting to break loose in the world, though largely invisible and less apparent than the worldly power being wielded at us right now, is the ultimate power. The power of justice, the power of imagination, the power of the individual who possesses the simple human quality of courage. Because courage is the answer to fear. We must find the courage to stare down this bought and paid for government, this rigged financial system, this broken two-party mockery of a once great democracy, to stare it down as one people, one political body, one en masse human potential movement that rises up at the very moment it would be defeated and say, I'm as mad as hell and I am not going to take this anymore. It's what I talk about on the show all the time, where we reach down into ourselves and formulate a creative response to the crisis of our world, and then thrust ourselves upon that crisis with all of our humanity, all of our creativity, all of our hope, and all of our belief in the possibility of a just world, and demand it without any equivocation, remembering that it is not their world. It does not belong to the super rich or the ultra powerful who let us play on it. It is our world, our country, our democracy, and we want it back now. I want to hear from you on this. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Mad as hell in America, we are back.
Let the Klugman revolution begin.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and I'm on fire today. And I don't think it's just because it's hot. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The number's here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. And I wish that I could succinctly tell you what I was talking about in the last 10 minutes. I was in a fugue. But I think what we're talking about is that we are getting screwed by the bankers. We are getting screwed by the corps in this country, but not just in this country, because I was in other Western countries, and we are getting screwed over there, too. And the call to action. And now what's happening is the markets are all over the place, and there's all this fear, you know what I mean? I talked to my friends, and they felt that something had shifted, you know, around this whole debt limit thing, and then the kind of the slow collapse of the market, that there was some fear that set in. I felt it. And I felt my friends possessed it too, that something had shifted. And I felt it in myself. And I said, no, we cannot be afraid. We have to find the courage to stand up. The intensity of that fear that makes us want to hide in the corner should drive us out to face very clearly and in no uncertain terms our, for lack of a better word, our enemies. And our enemies right now are bankers. Bankers, corps. Our democracy is being taken over. I feel it. It's not just here. It's all over the world. I can feel it. Can't you? Can't you feel it in your gut? This is what we're going to build a movement on that feeling and on our refusal to run and hide just because they want to make us feel afraid. Yes, we'll feel afraid. Yes, I'll look you right in the eye and I'll tremble and my knees will knock, but I will not back down. I'm fired up today. All right, here we go. Let's go to Don, line one. Don, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up?
How are you doing, Adam?
I think I'm on fire today. I'm checking my shoes.
My question is, do you suppose there's anything left in this world that still makes perfectly good sense? And I was just going to say, something's telling me it's all going to blow up in their faces big time before too much longer.
Why do you think it's going to blow up in their faces, Don?
Well, it's something my maternal grandfather taught me when I was, and I don't know if you've ever heard an old expression called more than the traffic will bear.
No.
Well, I'm sure that it should make perfectly good, it should be obvious to all of us that the traffic truly will only bear just so much.
Yes, that's true. I heard it put that how many feathers can you pluck?
Yeah,
from the goose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How before we don't take it anymore.
I know.
We are mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. And I think there is a democratic uprising coming in this country. I think democratic energies are forming. I can feel it.
There is going to be a major blowback.
But we don't want it to be rage. We don't want it to be violence. We want it to be full of the rightness of our position, because we are trying to build a world that works for everyone,
not just for a few. We wouldn't want anything like, say, the French or Russian Revolution.
No, we don't want that, but we can do it. They did it in Egypt. They did it in Egypt. They're doing it in Wisconsin.
I know.
We can do this. Don, thanks so much
for
the call.
Welcome.
I really appreciate it. Numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. What makes you feel afraid? Are you feeling afraid? Do you feel it? Because I felt it. I felt it. You know, I came home and I had like a whole bunch of, you know, personal concerns that made me feel afraid, and they were all financial. And then it, you know, kind of echoed out into the world, and I saw it kind of echoing out into the world and then back toward me, and I saw other people afraid, and I watching the market crash, and I saw all of us starting to separate a little bit based on this fear. But we mustn't. The fear brings us together. The fear makes us find each other. The fear gives us the fire and the courage to stand. Your calls are next. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. What makes you feel afraid? Bring it on the show. Let's talk it through. What's your worst fear about what's going on right now? You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. This is Mad as Hell in America. I am your host, Adam Klugman. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's one and only progressive talk station. Don't forget to join us on Facebook. Go to Facebook, Mad as Hell in America. We will read your comments on the air. Someone said, Jamie said, Adam, thank you for putting my feelings into words. Did I put your feelings into words in that opening monologue? Are you mad as hell and not going to take it anymore? I mean, that's the second part of the equation, man. It's not just enough to be mad as hell. You've got to be mad as hell and willing not to take it anymore. I'm there. I've had it. I'm tired of getting lied to, screwed, and fear-mongered. I've had it. So give us a call here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620, or like I said, Facebook, or you can send me an email at adam@madashellinamerica. I try to write everybody back. I got lots of really nice emails from people saying, where are you, Adam? When are you coming back, man? And that was really encouraging. I did say I was going to be back last week. My plane got screwed up, and things just got all cattywampus on me. But I'm back now. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, and I am glad to be here. Let's go to Chris. Thanks for waiting. Line two. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Chris, what's up?
Hey, did you enjoy your trip?
I did enjoy my trip. I had a great, great trip. What's up?
Well, I was a little more than extremely,
Mad as hell?
Mad as hell about the last week there was the report that Hillary Clinton was saying that we need to become involved in Syria.
We need to become involved in Syria. I can't believe that she said. What did she mean by that? Do you know, Chris?
She said that, like Libya, we were supposed to become the European countries and us, NATO, should go in to pull out the dictator in Syria.
Great. Thanks for the call, Chris. That's all we need. We need to add a sixth war. Let's fight six wars. Can you name all the wars that we are in? Let's see. Give me a call here. 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620. We have a very unconfirmed report that Hillary Clinton, was our Secretary of State, was saying that we need to now go into Syria. That's a scary thought. We do not need a sixth war. How many wars are we fighting and where? I can count five. Can you? Can you count five? Call me here, 503-248-0620 or 1-866-452-0620. And let's figure out how many wars we're actually fighting while our country goes down in flames economically. I'll never get that. Eli, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up? Eli, are you there? Ellie?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Ellie. Do I have it right this time?
You have it right this time.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't list the number of wars that we're in.
Pick one. Let's try and pick one. One war that we're in.
Let's do Iraq.
Okay, Iraq.
Real obvious.
All right, everybody just gets one, so that was an easy one. Iraq. What did you call about, Ellie?
What bothers me is, or what I'm afraid of, I guess the old saying, the word fear is fear itself.
Yeah, I thought about that on the way in here.
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
Well, it's what concerns me is everybody is really angry, and they're taking it out on each other.
Right.
You know? Like the Tea Party, they have every reason to be angry.
You're right.
They all have reason to be angry. But instead of coming together, it seems like we're getting divided. And the same thing in England, with the riots. Why are they attacking each other?
Isn't that weird? I was in London. I happened to be in London when the riots broke out. I was walking around Piccadilly Circus with my family, and we saw a little sign on the door and says, in the interest of the safety of our associates, we've decided to let them go home early in case something terrible happens in the greater London area. And we're going, greater what? What's going to happen in the greater London area? And we go back home, and we go back to our hotel, and we turn on the TV, and the whole bloody city is on fire. It was nuts. I went around and I interviewed some people, and I'm going to bring some clips in. And Ellie, thanks so much for the call. The Iraq War. So before I talk about the London thing, I think you bring up a really good point that when we get afraid, what we do is lash out at each other. And, I've got a lot of problems with the Tea Party, But the one thing that I agree with them on is that the people who are currently running our government are doing a very bad job of it. They are corrupted oligarchs who are completely in the pockets of the people who have the money. And that part I agree with. I don't believe that the solution is to cut and eliminate government. We need better government, not less government. So, Ellie, thanks so much for the call. I really do appreciate it. Let's move on. So anyway, I was saying that I was in London, but I'm going to get into that next show. I brought a bunch of clips, some really interesting stuff there. Let's go to Mike in Seaside. Mike, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up?
Oh, hi, partner. I've been really getting disturbed lately about the slippery slope we keep seeming to go down with public schools and education in general. I saw Siemens the other day, and they say they can't find enough smart people to fill the applicants. And
right.
Here we got a lot of the religious that say, pull our kids out of school, we'll teach them at home, reducing in public education. But even in the private side, they're not even teaching people to be, smart enough to go into these jobs. I don't know if you know Portland well, but I was a graduate of Benson Tech back in the 70s, where high schoolers, they just taught us how to work, taught us how to go out and get some of these jobs. And you don't see that anymore. We're not pushing our kids to get educated.
No, we're not. And we don't seem to have... somehow, teachers became vilified. The teachers became the bad guys. The teachers' union became a cabal, right? And somehow the teachers are the problem with our public education system. Mike, thanks so much for the call. That's the thing, right? But why? Why did teachers get vilified? Why is public education vilified? Because they are extracting the wealth from this country by eliminating the public and social services that you and I pay for with our tax dollars, right? So it is just a country that exists by the wealthy for the wealthy. And that's what we're mad as hell about. That is what we're not going to take anymore. And this president just can't seem to find a backbone. It's just It's so frustrating. I will stand by and say that I do not think that this president is morally down with the way that this country is being run. I don't believe that he decided to become president. And maybe I'm naive, but I don't believe that he's morally down with it. But what I don't understand is, why doesn't he stand up for what is right? Where is his courage? Where is his courage? His backbone? I bet it's scary to be president of the United States when you're swimming with the sharks. But man, that was the job. He knew that was the job when he took it. Luke, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Luke, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Hey, the more I listen to you, the more I agree. Actually, when I called in, I thought I was going to disagree. But I think definitely we live in a country that's built by the rich and for the rich. But I don't know if I agree with the Democratic Party on how they're going to solve the problems.
I don't see any solutions at all.
I actually, I don't know about the guy that called in about Hillary Clinton thinking we're going to invade Syria. I haven't heard anything about that. Maybe diplomatically.
I hadn't heard anything about that either.
Yeah.
You know, but Syria's got a lot of the problems that a lot of countries have in the Middle East. Remember a few months back, I can't remember it, you know, they were shooting protesters, you know, whereas in Egypt, it was peaceful. You know, there were something like 18 protesters out in Syria that were shot and killed by the Syrian government. So that's not a nice country. But I don't think starting another war is the solution. Do you? We don't need a sixth war, do we?
No, of course not. In fact, I think we should pull back from all of them.
All right, so I'm throwing Afghanistan into the mix. I've got Iraq, Afghanistan. What's the third war?
Well, we're all over the place. But we've got soldiers. I mean, if you want to just count wars, I mean, yeah, it's you can limit it to that. But you know, we're everywhere.
I think we've got three more wars. We got Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't care that we're pulling out of Afghanistan. We got wars, right? We got 50,000 troops living in Afghanistan. I'm sorry. That doesn't seem like the end of anything to me.
Right. You segued right into what I was thinking, and that is, you know, obviously globalization has taken its toll on this country. You know, we don't have the industry that we used to have, and you know, we're spread way too thin on all angles. Here, I want to give you a little background on me. I'm 32. I've been working. I have a small family, and now I'm going back to college. And I want to raise a question, and I'm gonna you know, mention a word that is not too popular, and that's Marxist philosophy on some of the social problems that capitalist governments tend to have.
What about Marxist theory? What about it? It was a pretty broad theory. What about it?
Yeah. We're talking about the critique of capitalism, and basically what I see. Now, I'm not a Marxist, okay? So I don't want anybody like jumping down my throat and saying
it's okay. It's still a free country, man. You could be a Marxist here.
Right. Exactly. Well, here's the thing that I see. I don't agree with the Democratic Party, okay? but what I do see is that nobody is shouting that we need to be more local. We're still spending so much money on gas. We're shipping things from halfway around the world, things that we could be building here. And this is the question that I have: is that, like, we, you know, in the critique of capitalism, the eventual fall of capitalism was because that a worker will not work as hard if they don't have a reason to do it, and if they're not connected to the people who they're working for, they're just not going to put their heart into their work, and it's going to basically collapse.
Well, that's right. I mean, and we're thanks so much for the call, Luke. I got a ton of calls. I'm going to get to it. But, you know, when you talk about, Luke, in terms of the means of production, that's why it's not getting local, right? We don't own the means of production. That's what it's about. And I've been thinking about this Cicero thing, you know, that what is freedom? How do we define it? As participation in power. Well, I don't see Americans participating in power all that much these days. So maybe we're not as free as we think we are. Let's go to Rick, line three. Rick, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up, Rick?
Hi. I've been putting together about this, why he's been so silent on collective bargaining, Mr. Obama.
You're talking about President Obama?
Yeah.
All right. What's up?
I believe Hillary Clinton is influencing this and Bill, too. First of all, he's still doing his free trade tricks with Korea and Colombia, and now I heard Hillary's in bed with Walmart, so I believe she's worried about them being unionized. So I think that's why he's holding back on coming out saying he wants to reform collective bargaining, from what I heard.
Yeah, I haven't seen him take a single stand for collective bargaining. I mean, when that whole thing was going down in Wisconsin, I wanted to see him get on a plane and stand with those workers.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton's just in his ear.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have voted for Hillary just based. I was a Hillary supporter before. I was a Barack Obama supporter. Was going to vote for Hillary. I thought it would be great to have a woman president. When I saw the way that she handled her campaign and the viciousness with which and the kind of Rovian tactics that she used, I went off her. But I'm not tracking Hillary Clinton. I have great respect for her in some regards, and I also think that the Clintons did tremendous damage to this country. But I am focused on this president, and I think this president is his greatest failure is a failure to lead. You know, I could hand you a list of 250 of his accomplishments, and you'd go, wow, there are some legislative accomplishments. But his failure is his failure to lead ideologically. He has failed to turn the consciousness of the country around, and that, I think, is nearly unforgivable. He has squandered.
We've taken too big of a haircut. The American people and unions built this country. He needs to stand behind the unions all the way, not reform this or that, compromise here or there. It's just driving me nuts that he didn't say one word about Wisconsin there.
No, that's right. Rick, thanks so much for the call. You know, when we come back, it will be your calls. We have a few lines open, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Virginia, Mary, we will be with you. What makes you afraid? What makes you mad as hell? What are you not going to take anymore? Numbers 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. This is Mad as Hell in America. I'm Adam Klugman. This is KPOJ, and we will be right back.
So here's the bottom line. I want all of you to understand. There is nothing that we're facing that we can't solve with some spirit of America first, a willingness to say we're going to choose party, we're going to choose country over party, we're going to choose the next generation over the next election. If we are willing to do that, then I have absolutely no doubt that we can get this economy going again, we can put people work back again, small businesses can start growing again. But I'm going to need your help to make it happen. You've got to send a message to Washington that it's time for the games to stop. It's time to put country first. But I want everybody to understand here that I'm not here just to enjoy the nice weather. I'm here to enlist you in a fight. We are fighting for the future of our country. And that is a fight that we are going to win. That is a promise that I make with your help. Thank you very much, everybody.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ. That was Barack Obama, and I'm sorry. If that's the best he's got, he's in a lot of trouble, and so are we. You know, for a long time I've been saying, why won't he enlist us? Well, it's too late to enlist us, and I just felt no passion in his voice. He's like, I can't do this alone. It was like, instead of him calling us to action, it felt like this world-weary leader who says, help me, I'm fading. If that's what he's got, if that's what Barack Obama has got for the next election, I'm worried about the next president and who that might be. I have some secret worries about that. I wonder who your greatest fear is, and it is not Michelle Bachmann. Let's go to line six. Virginia, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up, Virginia?
Well, you asked what we're afraid of, and that's the last thing I'm going to tell you. Housekeeping first.
All right.
Also, Pakistan, Yemen, and Libya.
All right, there you go. Pakistan, the five. So before we move on, I have Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen. That was the one I didn't think people were going to get. And, of course, Libya. That was going to be a wham-bam. We're in and out. No problem.
Yeah.
The five-minute war. All right.
Now, the housekeeping on Syria. Hillary didn't call for a Libya-type response, but she did finally get the major European powers to agree to more serious sanctions. They will no longer import oil.
Oh.
And Obama and Hillary have both said Assad has to step down.
Wow.
But that's where we are with Syria. And the number there is not 18. The number of people the government has killed is now in the thousands.
Thousands. Okay. I'm sure that it started with 18. Okay, thank you
two
for
more,
the house.
Two more quick things.
All right.
I think equal to the indictment of Obama not to lead is an indictment of the left not to push.
Ah,
where
yes.
Where are we?
Where are we?
Yeah. Now, what am I afraid of? Ever since Rick Perry appeared on the national scene, I've been telling everyone I run into, don't forget Hitler was elected.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Rick Perry's the one I'm afraid of. That was the one. You hit it. I'm not worried about Michelle Bachmann. I am worried about Rick Perry. He's George Bush on steroids and acid all in the same day.
And he's a very frightening man.
He's frightening, and he's shrewd, and he's powerful, and he's handsome, and he's persuasive.
And he's got those little beady rodent eyes. You know there's a mean son of a you-know-what under there.
You know there is, Virginia. Yeah. Virginia, thanks so much for the housekeeping. I'm going to run out of time on a hard break. I'm going to keep going. Let's go to Mary, line one. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America, Mary.
Yeah, well, what makes me mad is how everybody's knocking Obama down. Aren't we still kind of at war over in Korea?
Well, some people might say that. I don't know. I know we have lots of troops over there. I don't know that we're still in a war in Korea. Are you saying North Korea, South Korea? Is that what you're saying?
Along the border of North Korea. I mean, it's not really a war, I guess, but it's still...
It's a military occupation all over the world. We have over 800, I think it's getting close to 1,000 military bases all over the world that we're spending money on. This is an imperial America.
Japan, Germany, Italy.
You got it. That's right. Mary, thanks so much for the call. I really do appreciate it. I don't mean to beat up on President Obama, but I'm trying to get him to stand up. This is what Mary was saying. We've got our last caller. Her name wasn't Mary. Where are we? We've got to stand up. We've got to put pressure on this president, Mary, and we've got to get him in line with the principles that we elected him for, to stand for. And he's not doing that. And so I'm going to keep hitting him until he does. He needs my help. That's the way I look at it. Thanks for the call, Mary. Let's go to Jeff in Portland. Jeff, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up? We got 2 minutes left.
Okay, Adam, it's great to have you back. As always, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Your show and Ring of Fire are such a great 1-2 combination. And and like the REM song that said Lenny Bruce was not afraid, and neither are you, and we're all better for it. So thanks for doing what you do.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and speaking of fear, I want to talk about the oxymoronic term Democratic Party strategy. it's widely known back in 2004 the GOP helped get Howard Dean out of the race in Iowa. You know, he was a hard-charging anti-war candidate, and they put money and got him out of the race and let John Kerry go to his doomed passive march to the election. What I want to say is that that's just one example of how the GOP isn't afraid to strategize where Democrats are. Why aren't we putting somebody to challenge Obama? He's not listening to all the progressive radio people and TV people like you, and he's not listening to the economic advisors like Robert Reich and Krugman.
Nope.
And he's given us death by a thousand cuts, death on the installment plan. We need somebody to challenge him, and get some natural selection going.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff. I'm up against a hard break. Thanks so much for the call, man, and thanks for listening. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jason Benlevy. We're going to take a little departure into something called the singularity. I'm not going to get freaky on it, man. I'm going to try to stay practical and real, but we need to be thinking about it. I'll be right back after a big old break.